not even funny.
Yeah, we're live, and you just said, I'm so out of Swift, not even funny. That's the first thing you say as soon as we go live, I'm so out of Swift, it's not even funny.
No, I'm just saying, like, yo, it's just, like, just, I don't know. Just, I'm just not feeling it. Like, you know what's been more entertaining this week? It hasn't been sports. It's been your boy, Brother Love. Real shit. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I ain't gonna lie, ain't nothing entertaining about that man.
Nah, bro, the Meek Mill and Academic shit was crazy. I don't like Pete. You know who Academic is? He's a DJ.
Yeah, he the MF who don't know how to spell his name right.
Yeah, he does it. He just spells it however he spells it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's his name, I mean, is it got to be spelled proper in order for it to be right? Maybe it's just right, okay, for him.
You talk to me. Listen, you talk to me in 5 years when you start seeing your school kids coming in. Like, my name is Kovide.
I mean, well, I spell my name BKLYN.
But that's an acceptable abbreviation.
There's no R in it. Get it?
But there, no,
there's
but
no,
the acceptable.
There's no O's in it either. There's no O's in it either.
That's right.
I don't really know
how he spells his name. I just know. I don't think boy really bought that life. Okay. I think he got to relax. He calling.
Not
he
you telling people to for relax.
No, nah, I'm just saying he got
to
relax.
Right? No, that's his thing. He has to tell people to relax because
he has to be
out of pocket. So if someone's more out of pocket than Matt, then Matt, you know, Matt telling somebody to relax.
I'm not going to tell somebody who runs a whole city, and we're not even just talking about like a regular city. We're talking about a grimy ass city. Philly grimy as hell. I got robbed in Philly. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Like, it's grimy out there. He holds some power out there. Are you calling him soft? You got to relax.
What's going on? Whoever this is, it just says Facebook user. So, what's up? Appreciate y'all. But I guess let's just jump in the show. I cut it on. Y'all didn't say nothing interesting, so now I'm going to cut this out.
Well, we didn't know we was live until you said we was live. There was no intro to the show
at all.
Well, like, guess what? Look, here we go.
Came here to say who wanted from the jump. Came here to say to get exactly what you want. Came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, we live, you know. We came here to say that you don't really want it with us. Yeah, the sports show.
Yeah. I just want to rock, rock.
Yeah.
I just want to. Yeah.
See.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Your Sports Show, episode 154. I am your host, the wise brother, Big Baby, aka the soul of R&B.
That's a gimmick now. You like the wise brother.
It's been my gimmick for almost like 7 months.
Yo, where did I hear that before? Like, is it Undercover Brother?
I'm not sure. I don't remember, but that is my gimmick.
And it was a white dude, wasn't it? There is a
Jewish man on television who calls himself a wise person.
Man,
I think he said he was the wise brother. I'm gonna watch that show. I'm gonna watch the movie
at the bottom of the pyramid today, we have the owner and the proprietor of We Are Wrestling. That man, Mr. Put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it.
Pete Rosado, what's going on? Congratulations, sir.
Thank you. I'm now in generational debt. and if you don't know why, please go back and see the rock I placed on that girl's finger. It wasn't J-Lo rock, but it was. It made Tay said, listen, when Tay said I did good, I was good.
That's
you did good.
That's what matters.
Your knees okay though?
What?
Your knees okay? Your knees okay? You good? You're getting up there in age.
Yeah, no, listen, I got down on the one knee. I got down on the correct knee too. I don't know if people know this. Let's educate some of our people out here. You have to get down on your left knee with the right knee up. You hold the ring box in your left hand and you open it with the right hand. It actually goes back to knighthood. It's how knights would ask, kneel to be knighted and to enter into service and things like that. So that's where it comes from. When you kneel on the left, present the ring with the right.
I'm not gonna hold you. I feel like I'm gonna get a text be like, he's right. You better not.
Oh yeah, you about to get a big old text message.
I really feel like
that text. That text message is coming in hot in the second.
Before she even texts me, I got bad knees. I've played ball. It's surgically repaired. You gotta relax before I get that text.
Well, she's listen, I've done all of that except get the surgery on the knee. The worst I had was I had a fluid train.
I'm not even gonna get the text. You're just gonna put me on. Okay.
I had fluid drain for my left knee, but that was about it. But no, got down on one knee. I'm just glad I didn't accidentally kneel on one of them tea lights.
Oh, that would have sucked.
So, yeah, we went to we got those. So here's what happened: we went to dinner that night. We were celebrating our 3-year anniversary. On Saturday, because the anniversary was on Monday and we both had to go to work. So while we were out, her sister and her two best friends and her family came over to set up the apartment. So the music, the lighting, the ambiance, all of it. So when we came back, that's what she walked into. That whole week prior to that, I was having to go to Home Depot to get a set of keys made for the apartment without her knowing where I was going or why I was going to Home Depot. Me having to talk to our management company about getting an extra.
I'm not gonna post that, Matt. Don't worry about that. I'm not gonna put that comment.
an extra fob for our door so that her sister could get into the building downstairs. There was a lot that went into it, as well as having to keep the restaurant a secret. I had to deactivate all the security cameras in our apartment.
I was sad because I got a call while I was at Magic, and it's like, yeah. I think I called Pete for something, and he was like, "Yo, I'm doing it now." I'm like, "Doing what?" Oh shit!
I think
Lala called me while I was at the restaurant.
Yeah.
We were at the restaurant, but she had gone to the bathroom. I was like, Lala, you got 5 minutes. But then you called me as well. Later on, right when we were walking into the building, I had parked my car. I left her in the lobby. And so as I was coming around to the lobby to come get her, that's when you called me. I was like, yeah, we about to go upstairs and get this done right now.
Oh, she has to relax.
That's dope. I'm happy for you. And at the top of the pyramid, to the top right, we have Bobby Brown himself, Mr. Thug Lovin'.
While my Whitney Houston's out here acting up, it's okay. It's cool though. It's cool. I don't
y'all
be trying
got
to hide
something
nothing.
In common.
Yeah. What's up, guys? What's going on?
Always at the tippy top is the Queen Tay, who will be joining us a little bit later on in the show. Fellas, it's been 3 weeks. Like, so much has passed by, and also so little has passed by at the same time in sports.
Well, you know, it's the off season for the NFL, and it's the slow part of the off season for the NFL. You know, we're still just hearing stories about the combine, what might happen at the draft, things like that. You know, everybody's been fired. They're going to be fired for right now. So, you know, really slow time in the NFL. The hot stove starting to get started. I'm proud to say that next week will more than likely be the first episode of the baseball podcast. We're still trying to get the specifics down, but we're all in place. Everything's ready to go there. So you'll be getting a lot more baseball news from the Your Sports Show as well.
With Glizzy's?
Yep, you'll be meeting our two co-hosts as we move forward. But Yeah, I mean, baseball's about to heat up. Regular season's about to start right now. Right. Kind of see all that spring training news. And the NBA, it's weird because it's like we're kind of in the middle of the NBA season. We're in that weird in-between moment where it's like still right after the All-Star break, but not yet.
Yeah, post-All-Star game is a little slow.
All-Star game was fucking slow. The All-Star game sucked ass.
Well, let me tell you something about the All-Star game, and I didn't make the video I was supposed to because I got caught up and I forgot. But Matt said this to me in the shop chat. Shout out to the shop. And he said this, and I agree with it. LeBron, in terms of the dunk contest, LeBron messed up the dunk contest, and here's why:
fucked it up.
He made it to now where stars don't care about it, because when he said he was going to do it and then he decided not to do it, everyone is probably now like, why should I do it if LeBron is not going to do it? He's the Pied Piper of the league. Not in the Robert way, but
I was like, about to say Pied Piper is wild. You gotta relax.
Sorry.
Gotta relax.
But he leads, he is the general of the league. He King James, like, people are gonna follow whatever he does. Pardon the left, yes, Randy. Pardon the left. Wow, my apologies.
That's wild, bro.
It was a wild term. Please excuse me, but in terms of the All-Star game, people just have to care more about it. KG on KG Certified said the same thing. If people don't care about it, this is exactly what it's gonna look like. And in order for people to care about it, it got to be the young dudes that make the push for it.
Honestly, the solution to the All-Star game, I mean, to the dunk contest, the NBA actually, in my opinion, stumbled upon the solution for the dunk contest without knowing it.
If you say put G Leaguers in there, I'm gonna leave.
No, the greatest part of All-Star Weekend was the three-point contest
with Steph Curry and Sabrina.
That was the best part of All-Star Weekend, right? Yeah. And that is how you fix the dunk contest, not with WNBA players. Here's what I'm saying. What I think you need to do is you need to get these professional trick dunkers.
I said this too.
Like 4 years ago,
bring in the professional trick dunkers and have them go up against NBA dunkers, because A, it'll increase the creativity that the NBA professionals will have to create. And even if you have whack dudes, even if you don't have the stars in the dunk contest, you start to see creativity come out of these other guys who can dunk. But also it embarrasses the NBA players a bit, because now you're saying,
that's why they won't do it.
That's exactly why
they won't do it.
That's what you need to do. You need to actually put the fire on these dudes and be like, you know what? Cool. You don't want to come do it. You don't want to come be a part of this and make it what it's supposed to be. All right, great. We're going to come. We're going to bring in guys that are going to make what you do look like child's play. So if you want to prove them wrong, show up.
You realize you kind of shed light to why All-Star Weekend and these dunk contests and the skills contest is failing also, so bad. Pete,
you might have to restart your set. You're speaking like you're in an anime. All your words going right after you speak.
But the reason why All-Star Weekend is so trash is because this is predominantly their only free time. This is when these brand meetings are happening, and that's when they're figuring out what they're going to do into the next quarter, into the summer, going into the next season, free agency. All-Star Weekend is not as prominent as it was, like, I want to say 04, 05, right? Mm-hmm. These players, they don't want to do the dunk contest because, in all honesty, nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be embarrassed. So it's going to always come back to the problem in the NBA is a lot of these players are focused on their brand. and not the league. And that's just what it is.
No, I agree.
I like that idea, though.
Actually,
Joe, just 15 minutes in, Larry.
You want me to talk about the Knicks?
Not yet.
Dre, am I good now with the audio?
Yes. Stop looking more like a old kung fu movie where they were like,
I gotta relax.
That also is probably another issue as well, right?
Mm-hmm. What, the Knicks?
No. I almost feel like the All-Star break being in the middle of the season contributes as well, right?
Mm.
Like, don't get me wrong, MLB does the same thing, but MLB's 162 games, right? And, you know, they get time to rest. When you're talking about, you know, the NBA All-Star break, you're talking 82 games. You're talking these guys need to be at a high level every single night. Games are starting 2 days after the All-Star break. Games end, what, maybe 2 days before the All-Star break, if not a day before the All-Star break, you know. So maybe moving the All-Star break to not being midseason. And, yeah.
Randy, should we move the game to the All-Star?
I got a better solution.
Kind of doing it like the Pro Bowl. And making it more internally based, right? Because as Matt said, these guys care about their brands, right? So now it's not about the teams, it's not about the league, it's about you, it's about showing out, and it's about having some fun in the off season, you know, right at the end of the season. Let's have some fun. And of course, if you're in something like the NBA Finals or something like that. You know, obviously, maybe you're not in the All-Star game, or they do something special for you where maybe if you were an All-Star but you were in the NBA Finals, they make you the, you still be a better choice for a coach than Doc Rivers.
Facts! God damn it, that was –
We all would at this point.
Doc Rivers need to go. I'm sorry. There's
a lot of ways that I think NBA kid could really approach this. You know, you're supposed to be the most exciting league of the three, right? In terms of excitement. But the best part of All-Star Weekend used to be the dunk contest. The best part of All-Star Weekend. Like, everybody would watch the dunk contest, and people like, the All-Star game, whatever.
Right? Man, I ain't watched not one of it. Only watched the three-point shootout. That was it.
And that's the thing. The three-point shootout became better than the dunk contest after a while. And now it's just like, okay, the three-point shootout's still good. The All-Star game's okay. Dunk contest is eh. You know, the purest...
I like the rookie or sophomore games. I don't know what happened to that.
Yeah, but again, it's these things of, like, the NBA always thinks they have to. Mm-hmm. I understand evolution, and I understand trying to make things different and fresh, but a lot of these sports also have to understand if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right now, you got these. We're gonna have a draft, and we're gonna have, you know, each quarter is gonna be its own game. Like, no, people are confused. We don't know what the hell is going on. We don't know who won, who lost, what's happening.
I got a better solution real quick. Jay, tell me if you fuck with me. Did you enjoy the end game tournament? The in-season tournament? Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
I say fuck the All-Star weekend as a whole. I say create the All-Star selection so that way it goes on your resume. Like how you do it at the end of the season when you do like the end of the season awards. Vote on your All-Stars for the year. And that can be on their resume, but I feel like that weekend should just be a week, and you do the end game, you do the end season tournament there, because nobody's checking for the All-Star game or the dunk contest, and it ain't gonna be too long before the 3-point shootout gets stale. They're gonna have to do something like extend like the money ball to the half court line because everybody's jacking from half. Pause.
That was wild, man.
I'm gonna
give you a rebuttal, and then we're gonna move on to the next topic.
I like
you can't do that. You can't do that. Reason being that the in-season tournament has higher stakes, and there wouldn't be a break for the NBA players. It wouldn't be no break for the NBA players. But the All-Star weekend, I get it.
I mean, outside of LeBron.
I get it, but it is the first one, right?
Let's see. And now he's not going to care no more. He won it, now he ain't going to care.
Right, but let's see how everybody else is next year, because they're getting the rules and stuff together for it. But I think the in-season tournament being literally in-season at the beginning of the year to force people to play is perfect. In terms of the All-Star game, All-Star weekend, yeah, them going back to East versus West was fine with me. The problem is, like, it's no incentives. But like Randy said, they should go to the MLB format, basically, and the winner of the All-Star game gets home court advantage regardless of your seating. Like, I think that is fair. Like, you got to give people something to play for. Like, your incentives to get to the All-Star game, to be an All-Star, I get that.
That and draft selection opportunities too.
I don't think the draft that would be a killer, but because there'll be teams like, well, you get an extra pick if y'all win, and then everybody be getting hurt. But then we'll have people getting hurt and not have them for the rest of the season.
Does the NBA have a rule similar to the Major League Baseball where they have to have an All-Star representative for every team?
No.
No,
I think that's they stupid. Should.
That's,
no,
I never did understand.
Because there are great players, and there are all stars on shitty teams.
But then there people will be giving all star nods to that's not really all stars,
like Mikal Bridges.
Like let's be sure, right? We'll be giving somebody from, let's say, like Matt just said, the Brooklyn Nets, an all star nod, and
Joe Stein.
Trash.
Like, you,
the whole team is trash.
With every fiber of my being,
the entire team is garbage. We can't. Like, that's basically giving a participation award at this point. But
it's been a year, and I still haven't recovered.
Something Peter said. I in terms of it was one of y'all who said it. But towards the end of the season, like they do it like the Pro Bowl, do it before the finals and just have the people who are registered as All-Stars. You know, they get the nod. Like, you know, if Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl every damn year, he never played in a damn Pro Bowl, but he was a Pro Bowler.
Why would he? Whack ass game.
The Pro Bowl now, I like the Pro Bowl being flag football now. It's cool, nobody gets hurt. And they have a whole bunch of pretty dope stuff for the NFL, you know, Pro Bowl stuff, but the NBA has to fix their
free trip to Hawaii.
Yeah,
I want to go there, but so bad.
I don't care how much money you make. Listen, one of the most expensive trips you can make when it comes to the United States of America, the 50 states,
right,
is Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. You had to say it like that.
Yeah.
No, that's technically how it is. Hawaii. It's Hawaii.
Yeah.
You
I've been around too many Polynesian people in my life to get in trouble for mispronouncing the name of the island.
Yeah, let's not do that. But let's get into the rest of today's topics right now. All right, here are today's topics. The first one we're talking about, it was something I've been hearing, something I'm pretty excited about. So EA Sports is bringing back college football games. We haven't had a college football game since 2013, 2014. And now since, you know, NILs and all this other stuff is out, you know, people want to get paid for their name and likeness, right? EA said,
"It's in the game."
Huh?
We said EA said it's in the game. Yeah, no, that's what they said.
No. All right. Anyway, EA said that they will give players who opt in to use their name and likeness $600 and a copy of the NCAA game. Now, get this. It's over 11,000 college football players. So, Peter, you being a teacher and all, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh my God.
Close to $6 million, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's about $6 million, close to that. Compared to what they're thinking they're going to make in the game, with the game, close to maybe $80 million. Maybe a little bit more than that. So $6 million is nothing for EA to give out to, you know, to college players, $600.
That's wild when you say that, right? Like, yo, right. Just giving out $6 million is nothing.
Yeah. It's nothing for EA. So my question to the table, Matt, I'll start with you. Should these college athletes fight for more money? Should they accept it?
Hell yeah. Yeah. Get your money. I don't know what we're doing here. I mean, granted, the NIL is a lot of people. Not a lot of these athletes are on NIL deals. Get your money.
Appreciate it,
bad enough. What was it? 2K was robbing a lot of these NBA athletes for their money, for their likeness. I see the same thing happening with these college athletes. No, get your money. I want more. If y'all and I want to check after we get the bottom line of how much y'all made, like first or second week. Because if you talking about you dishing out $6 million and y'all made $80 million, nah, bruh. I need more. I'm gonna need more, especially if my rating is higher.
So
that gets into a lot of semantics in terms of ratings, but I get what you're saying.
What is this? I think if you're talking about a Caleb Williams, right? If you're talking about Shakur Sanders, things like that, if you're talking about the names that are the top names in college football, yes, I do think there should be a tier system. I don't think the $600 is bad for, you know, the random, you know, edge rusher at the University of Minnesota who nobody really knows. I don't think that's bad for the punter, at Texas Christian Abilene, right? There are players that the 600 is going to be okay, right? But when we're talking about the top players in the sport, when we're talking about the guys that everyone's going to know when they see that player, the teams that people are going to play with in that game because they're going to want to play with certain players, yes, I do think the 600 is kind of unfair for everybody. There does need to be a tier system, and I think it should be based on your notoriety as a player, right? You're not gonna sign the same deal for Derek Jeter that you would for the shortstop of the St. Louis Cardinals, right? You would not, and to use current day players, right? You're not gonna sign Aaron Judge for his name and likeness to promote him, right? You're not going to sign him for the same amount of money that you're going to sign, even Gleyber Torres on his own team, right? You're not going to sign them to the same amount of money, right? And it should be the same for this situation with EA. They're going to have to come up, in my opinion, with a tiered system where, hey, you know, you're going to get this amount, whatever, you know, this is where you are. And it should be, here's what we're paying you. Now, the problem's going to come, it's going to have to be more than likely a flat fee, because what I can see is that there's not going to be residuals, right?
No,
you're not going to get, at all. Right. Once we sign you, Caleb Williams, we can have you in the game for 35 years. Right, whatever. We want to have you in there. All players, the great college players from the past. Right.
You know what I mean? Like unlockable stuff.
Yeah, right? Kind of right. Things like that. That's where things are going to get a little interesting there. Because I wonder how that's going to change when a guy leaves college and is now in the NFL. You know, are you going to have to sign him to a new deal? Things like that. But then again, we all grew up playing those games where there was no Michael Jordan. There was no Barry Bonds in the MLB games, right? You played as some random right fielder for the Giants.
You played player 23 and right fielder. I forget what Barry Bonds' number was. But, yeah.
Keith, thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much.
I I agree with the tier system. I also agree with the fact that they should get more money. The problems that they're going to run into is that players are going to feel like they're worth more than what they're essentially going to get. In this case, I believe that players fighting for at least, and I'm saying at the very least, 30% of the earnings. Of and that's a lot. That's still not a lot, because if you 30% of 80 million, it's, you know, it's still nothing out of this world, but it's enough for college athletes. Let me not say that. It's not enough for college athletes, but I think it would be pretty decent. Queen, what's up?
What's up, everybody? How you doing?
What's going on, Queen?
Not much. Your queen, what's good?
Not much. What's up, everybody? You're out here lifting the whole gym up.
By the way, Dre, that's $24 million.
Divided by 11,000?
30%.
NCAA. 30%,
80 million is 30, is 24 million.
NCAA video game. NCAA video game. They give in all the players $600.
And a copy of the game.
I didn't even know what y'all was talking about. I just came to see y'all faces because it's been a while.
Yes, it has. Oh, Queen froze up. But Peter, how much is that? 11,000?
24 million divided by 11,000?
Yes.
Okay, four.
Matt, stop acting like you're doing the math.
$2,200 per player, rounding up $2,181.
Okay.
But again, should the punter at Texas Christian Abilene get the same amount of money as Caleb Williams?
That all depends on what the NCAA and EA decided the contract was going to be.
I think the only one that should get a real bulk of the money is the one who's on the cover of the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or what you do is you budget a certain amount of money towards each team that's in the game.
Problem. Transfer portal.
True.
Got about right, we can see you, Queen. It was a little choppy for a second.
You on mute though?
Yeah. But Queen, what are your thoughts? I was about to ask you, what are your thoughts on 11,000 players getting $600 and a copy of the game for a game that's going to make probably $80 million or more?
As a former college student and someone who would have wished for $600 and a copy of the game, I'm for it. Better than nothing. They wouldn't have got nothing a few years ago.
They wouldn't even get their name in the game.
It's a start. Let's see how this, let's see how this goes over. And then over the next couple of years, maybe they should be getting more. But I feel like it's a good start. In the past, they would have just got a copy of the fucking game and called it a day.
Maybe not even that.
Maybe even. But I'm going to hop off, y'all. All love.
All right, Queen. Love you.
Love you well.
But I remember that being an issue prior to, which is why we haven't had an NCAA game in forever. The fact that they weren't paying players for their name and likeness. And then for EA to come out and be like, you know what, $600. That's kind of crazy right there. Now, 30% is a wild number, but for a game projected to make as much money as it's going to make, is that really going to put a dent in EA's pockets
Yes, especially when you talk about the video game industry right now. You realize Sony, yeah. Sony just cut like 10% of its staff.
Yeah.
You know, and EA, remember, EA, you know, like at the end of the day, like, this is not the same, this is not the same market it used to be.
Right.
You know. Why am I going to play? I mean, listen, I know there's a market for NCAA college football games, but why am I going to play NCAA college football games when I can play with the same player in a couple years in Madden? Because the players that you're really looking to play with, you're going to end up playing with in Madden in a couple of years.
Right, true. But I'm also wondering if they're going to have that thing that they had in the old games where you could bring your player from NCAA into the Madden game. That'd be dope.
That will be intriguing.
Yeah.
It will be intriguing. Sure.
The next topic. So, after LeBron retires, right, and this should be within the next couple years, but you never know, because LeBron is, I think he's about to hit 40,000 points if he hasn't already. Who is going to be the face of the league? Not who's going to be the face of the league, because people are crowned the face of the league without them accepting.
He needs 9 more, by the way.
9 more points. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So who's going to accept the role as face of the league, Pete?
So obviously the player who they thought was going to be the face of the league ain't going to be the face of the league. The crazy thing is, I think the face of the league is Luka Doncic. I think Luka Doncic is the best choice for the face of the league because he is such an internationally and nationally known player, and he can be marketed as such. If you want to go with Giannis, that's something as well. But Giannis, to me, while having the numbers and the resume of a star, doesn't exactly scream to me superstar, star of the league, number one guy, right? He's a very, you know, but I think Luka, I think it's going to have to be Luka, you know, until we get somebody else. But listen, Steph, what, you have maybe what? Maybe 2 more years of Steph?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even you're starting to see that Steph is starting to slow down, right? Ja Morant's off the table. You're not making Kyrie the face of the league. You're not making Durant the face of the league. You know, I don't see Devin Booker being the face of the league. I definitely don't see Joel Embiid with as injured as he is. Zion had an opportunity, but with his injury issues and the issues that he's gone through, not somebody that you can build around. And Jason Tatum, I don't see him as a guy that screams superstar. The next logical choice would be Nikola Jokic.
What the hell Matt got going on?
I don't know. Matt's just out here living his best life because Tay not on the show.
Matt going,
man. I'm Bobby Brown. I guess I gotta have the scenery, you know. Gotta have the scenery going.
I don't see any cocaine in the background of you.
I'm about to say, where the white pot at?
You gotta relax. You gotta relax.
That table is too clean to be Bobby Brown's table.
Right.
You gotta relax.
Shout out to Phoenix, Arizona yesterday.
but yeah, I think.
I'm sorry. I had to.
Done with you. Yeah, that to me is gonna be the biggest thing there. I think it's kind of between Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic, but Jokic I don't see also as the superstar kind of like player in that aspect of like somebody you're going to market. To me, it's going to have to be Luka Doncic. He kind of has, to some degree, that very white, all-American look to him as well.
Oh, my God.
But he is internationally known. He's a great player. He plays on a team in a major media market in Dallas. That's who I see it being. I see it being Luka.
But the thing about it is he going to be accepting of it? Like, is he going to be like, yeah, no, I got this. Like how LeBron did, where it's like, yo, all right, none of y'all want it? I'll take it.
God. Oh, my God.
Like, that's the question. But
I think the bigger issue is I don't think that kind of player exists anymore. LeBron is the last of, or one of the last of, a dying breed.
It's not just LeBron, though. Okay.
Outspoken, you know, knowledgeable of the world around them, knowledgeable of the issues affecting the players, knowledgeable of the issues affecting the world, right. You know, who performs well on the court, as a star on the court, is a star off the court, is essentially a quasi celebrity outside of basketball as well, you know. So, and he's played outside of Cleveland, he's played in two of the major media markets in the country, in Miami and LA, you know. Right. So, to me, I don't know if that caliber of player exists anymore, right? I don't know if you're going to have any more players like that in this, in the NBA. I really don't think you do. You are going to have that because it doesn't seem to. The Jordans, the Olajuwons, the Kobes, the LeBrons, I don't see them coming up anymore.
Bobby, your thoughts? Is there anybody that's going to be like, yeah, I want to be the face of the league?
Definitively, like LeBron, I think the only one that I see close enough to actually be like, yo, F this, I'm that guy, will be Anthony Edwards, in my opinion. But I feel like we're going to go into that era of remember that period after Jordan retired, like with 99 going into like 2000?
The second retirement, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. I forgot it was three of them. But yeah, so after the second retirement, we didn't have a definitive face. We had players like Shaq. We had players like Tim Duncan. We had players like Kevin Garnett. You know,
first one, we didn't have one either.
Exactly. So it was just a bevy of players that you just banded together. So even with LeBron right now, it's not just LeBron. It's Steph Curry. They're the two most recognizable faces for NBA right now. So if LeBron retires, say, after the season, Steph Curry's still there. So you have Steph Curry. And to a lesser degree, you still have Kevin Durant. You have Luka. You have Joker. You shake your head, but Kevin Durant does numbers overseas. So,
I'm not shaking my head because of the numbers or his impact. What my thing is, when you mentioned Steph is one of those players like how LeBron is, to where if someone says, "Yo, you're the face of the league," bet I got this. KD isn't, and that's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking about.
I get the dynamic.
KD can't lead a team. You want him to lead the league?
In terms of the question, but in terms of the what you're saying, yes. If people are looking at the NBA and there's no more LeBron, there's no more Steph, the next person you're going to look at is probably one of the last veterans, one of the last superstars, veteran superstars in the league. That would be KD. And then after that, it's kind of like, all right, pick your poison.
Yeah, it's like, because think about it. This is a real superstar, not superstar. This is a real talented level of talent that you have in today's league. You have your Paul Georges. You have your Kawhi Leonards, to a lesser degree, James Harden. You got Wimby, who's coming into his own. And even Chet Holmgren, like, them two, they're looking like they're about to be the next biggest rivalry. And I'm loving it. I love what I saw the other night between them two. So it's like
they're playing like they don't like each other, and I love it.
Exactly, and I love it. So it's like, and Wimby said he doesn't like him. He said it. I don't like him. He said it. So I'm here for it. I'm with it. But if you're talking about dogs, like dogs, I only see two, and that's Ja Morant and Anthony Edwards, who are cocky enough to be like, I run this. If I look at Ja Morant, I'm thinking AI. If I look at Anthony Edwards, I'm thinking, damn, who can I compare? I'm thinking more Wade, to a degree. Who's a dog?
You know what's interesting? Because here's the thing, we're talking about being the face of the league here, right? If it's not Luka, right? Because the top three players, you could say, not named LeBron James in the NBA right now, are Luka, Giannis, and Joker.
Nobody's buying his shoes, Pete. Okay.
No, we're talking about, in terms of when people look at the NBA, not so much of the numbers part. Because nobody's buying LeBron shoes either. So I'm sorry, but, you know.
I'm buying KD shoes before. Yo, Kyrie Irving had the best right. shoes out of all.
People though. Are buying KDs and Kyries before they're buying LeBron's. So, you know, the numbers argument sometimes, I get it. But, you know, because it's unfair because Jordan had the numbers and the viewers and the people. But go ahead, Pete.
But there, and I think the only thing that keeps this kid from probably being a leader in the NBA is the media market he plays in, because nobody really knows him unless you're watching the game.
Talking about Anthony Edwards?
Yeah. No, SGA.
Oh, yeah. Shay. Oh, God. Shay.
Yes. Yes. Yo, I'm bugging. He is, yo, it's him. It's him. And I don't think he's going to be an OKC for that much longer. I'm not going to hold you.
If they gonna win a chip, people going to
come. They're not winning no chip. They're not getting out the Western Conference. We're not even going to play ourselves and think that.
They got a good young team. I like what him and Chet Holmgren can do. I think you can build around him and Chet Holmgren and have a really, really good team for years to come in Oklahoma City. But and Josh Giddey as well, as long as he stays away from 17-year-olds.
You gotta run. I knew you was gonna do it. So you got that's something you gotta relax, Pete. Come on now.
There's not much to do in Oklahoma, but that's not it, sir.
That is not it.
You know, they have a very good core that they can build around, but my issue is, like, listen, SGA is averaging 31 points a game. The kid's a dark horse MVP candidate. He's only 25 years old. This is somebody that the league can build around for years to come. And I think you can build around him now while giving guys like Luka and Giannis the top billing right now as your stars of the NBA, your international and national stars, and then also building somebody like an SGA to take that leadership spot as well. Because while he may not be the biggest star, the biggest name when people think of the NBA, because again, you want to think of when you ask people right now, are you an NBA fan? And they say no. You ask them, do you know LeBron James? They're going to know who LeBron James is. The same way, even if you weren't an NBA fan, you knew who Kobe Bryant was. You knew who Michael Jordan was. You knew who Shaq was. You know who these players are. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about who's going to be the face of the league. Luka and Giannis, to some degree, can be that. But I still think they're very much in that basketball bubble. SGA can be that for the long term, but they have to start creating that image around him. And I would like for it to be where he doesn't go to a major media market. I really would love to see a player like SGA stay in a smaller market and still be seen as a kid who was the face of the league. Because we saw that with LeBron in Cleveland. And it was really great because it gave Cleveland a lot of love. And then he went to Miami. And then he went to LA after going back to Cleveland. But it's very rare that we see these players come from these smaller markets.
It's, you know what it is right now? It's that 96 draft kind of era right now. To where when you're looking at a bunch of players that could be like, yo, you got AI, you got Kobe, you got Steve Nash, you got Vince Carter, you got this, that, and the third, you got Kobe, you know, you got Kobe Bryant, you got everybody, you got a bunch of players that in that little era, in that 90, let's say 94, 95, to 2000 era, where it was just everybody, it was a bunch of dogs, but nobody was the face of the league. And that's what it is right now. It's going to be, I think it's going to be like that until somebody kind of says, yep, this is mine. And I really think the person is not even, you know, that person is not in the league right now. And I think it's one of those players that is being raised by an NBA player to be in the league. And I'm not talking about Bronny. If Bronny is not going to be the face of the NBA, I'm thinking someone like Gilbert Arenas' kid, Jamal Crawford's kid, Carlos Boozer's twins, Ron Artest's kid, who's coming up. It's Dennis Rodman's son. It's a bunch of players that's coming up to where it's like, yo.
I'm a little fearful. We have Dennis Rodman's kids. I'm not gonna hold you.
You said who?
And you know, the NBA felt really, really bad. You know, the NBA felt really bad when Marcus turned out to be absolutely nothing at ball. Because they were like,
he was just okay in college.
Yeah, like we can get another Jordan. Because you know the NBA would have jumped all over that.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to be Kanye. I'm not going to hold you. I really think it's going to be Kanye.
Kanye, yeah. Melo's son?
Yeah.
Melo's son has
Wait, the what? Same
disposition. Melo's son has the same disposition that
Go his ahead. Just go. Get out.
That his father has where, you know, like you he's not going to talk all that much. Yeah, both of them.
You gotta relax.
No, not that.
Pete, you gotta relax. You gotta relax.
Pete, relax. Anyway, I'm talking about in terms of like
now I got
Melo could have been the face of the NBA.
He should have been the face of the NBA.
But also, Melo don't like people. So
and you blame him?
No, but his son is like when people like Peter putting his business all out in the street. Yeah, nah, I wouldn't like people either.
Man didn't even like his wife.
You gotta relax.
Please relax. Anyway. Oh, also, since we've been asked about the New York Knickerbockers.
You're or no? Hit it.
Oh, hold on. No, we still got one more topic. The last topic is baseball season is back, and we given a short. Small preview to what these gentlemen will be talking about on the show. I still don't know the name of, so I can't make a damn logo for it yet.
I got you later today.
Okay, please just send it to me later on today. I'm gonna be zero dark.
You have a name. You have a name.
As long as it's not pitching the glizzies, that y'all would have to relax.
That's wild, and I would fire everybody involved in the show.
It's Rosado. It's Rosado. I wouldn't doubt that it would come out. Something Glizzy's is going to be in the name. Knowing Rosado, it's going to be in
it. It won't. Please be the
name. I don't even
please.
Like calling them that. Why would I use that terminology?
That'd be no crazy.
Sense. The word That'd makes no crazy. Sense. You know how I am about things that make no damn sense. The word isn't even in any way connected to a hot dog. Please stop. I can understand it, and it's just as bad, but I can understand it if they called it a meat stick. I could get that because it makes sense.
That is crazy. That is wild.
Crazy, bro. Like, what are you doing? Wild,
that's worse than the meat match that they got for this weekend. I don't know what's going on with this. Like, it's just y'all are...
It's not happening anymore. But like,
oh, it's not
everybody hurt and the boss don't know.
Right, everybody hurt and everybody's like,
wait, what?
We'll talk about that later on. But
what? what? Wait, no, hold on. Talk about
no. You we're gonna talk that. About it. We're gonna talk about it very briefly at the end. Please trust me.
Boston, no.
So, the Yankees, right? Because this is a New York-based sports show and. Though we care about baseball as a whole, we are more concerned about what goes on in our state. And talking about the Yankees, the question that I put inside the group was that the Yankees didn't really move the needle so much this summer.
I mean, we only got a generational player in Juan Soto, but yeah, we didn't move the needle.
I said didn't really move the needle because that is such a Yankees thing to do. Is to get somebody a super generational player and forget about the other things that they need to work on, like your bullpen. No,
we have a decent bullpen.
No, you don't. we don't at all. It's okay. No, I even that it is okay, but they, you know, instead of sending three pitchers to Boston, we could have did something else. But I digress. My question to y'all is this enough for Yankees to get number 28 this year?
I don't know. I say that trepidatiously, and here's why.
Don't be that fan.
We have an incredible lineup, you know, with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, a second year Anthony Volpe, you know, you have the young catcher in Austin Wells. You have a lot of pieces that are mixed in that can be very good. Verdugo could be very, very good. Stanton being a full-time DH, hopefully he's healthy. You know, we're hoping again for that bounce back season for DJ LeMahieu. He's only 35 years old, still has time to bounce back and still be a really good player, serviceable at the top of the league. So they have the offense to do it. Obviously, the pitching staff with Gerrit Cole, hopefully a bounce back season from Rodon and Cortez, and then Stroman continuing what he was doing in Chicago, and before that, the Mets in Toronto. You have a good chance with the starting rotation. As you said, yes, there are two big weaknesses right now. The bullpen is basically a no-name bullpen, and the depth on the bench does leave something to be desired. Obviously, Jason Dominguez still coming back, the Martian from that injury. And then you essentially have, you know, Jose Trevino as your backup catcher, Trent Grisham as your backup outfielder, and then Oswald Peraza and Oswaldo Cabrera kind of as your everyman infield and outfield. There's a lot to be desired in the bench. There's a lot to be desired in the bullpen, and there's a lot of question marks with the rotation. That's the thing. Do they have enough to be a very good team in the American League? Yes. Do they have enough to make the playoffs? Yes. Do they have enough to be scary? Yes. There's just too many variables that unfortunately they don't control. That's the biggest thing with baseball, right? You don't want to have a lot of variables that you can't control. You can't control health. You can't control age. You can't control whether or not a player is going to lose it all of a sudden. You can't control any of those things. And there's a lot of question marks around those things when it comes to the Yankees, especially when it comes to some of their top players. And the biggest question mark, does Juan Soto stay beyond this year?
And that's one of the things when I said in terms of the need to move, of course, the Yankees, the Yankees are the Yankees. The Yankees are going to find a way to get somebody who was, first of all, like, oh, we didn't think y'all were going to get him. Yes, y'all did. Y'all are the damn New York Yankees. The Juan Soto thing is kind of shaky for the Yankees because I think it all depends on how everything goes this year. If the Yankees have a season like they did last year where they start off strong and then all of a sudden fall off a cliff, if I'm Juan Soto, why would I want to stay there? Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Again, you have a lot of variables. Can Rodon go back to being the Rodon that you signed? Right. Can Cortez recapture that magic of Nasty Nestor? Is Stroman still going to be the Stroman that he's been the last 3 years, or is Stroman going to start to regress? You know, when does Gerrit Cole start to kind of like dip a bit? Because Cole, obviously AL Cy Young winner, has done a lot of great stuff. But, you know, again, Cole is getting up there in age. When you really look at him, I'm not mistaken, Gerrit Cole is about to be 34 years old, right? So does Gerrit Cole start to slip at all? Can Clark Schmidt be a serviceable number four starter or number five starter? You know, there's a lot of question marks. And when you look at the fact that we have to deal with the juggernaut that is the Los Angeles Dodgers right now.
Right.
When you have to deal with the consistent little engine that could in the Tampa Bay Rays, when you have to deal with a very, very, two very good young teams in your own division in the Baltimore Orioles and the Toronto Blue Jays, who have both smacked you around the last couple of years. Boston still kind of redeveloping, getting back to where they need to be. Obviously, Texas was in the World Series. They've got a good team as well. So you've got a lot of variables. This isn't a team that's going to, you know, just have no competition.
They're not going to be world beaters.
Right. And then you still have the Braves, the Dodgers, and everybody else you got to deal with in the National League.
Right. Right. And, you know, the National League isn't no slouch either, but I think the American League, at least this year, is going to be a damn rumble. But Matt, your thoughts are do the Yankees have enough? Did they retool enough to get championship number 28
this year? It seemed like the same team from last year. They'll be good, but I don't see them going as far as they need to be as far as getting number 28. I just feel like it's going to be an up and down season like it has been. I don't think that they moved the needle. I don't think that they got better as a team. I think they just are stagnant. And that's pretty much all I got with that.
Major League Baseball power ranking have them as the eighth best team in the league.
Is the Dodgers number one?
Actually, no. The Braves ranked at number one. Dodgers ranked at number two. The Rangers, the defending champions, ranked at number three. The Orioles ranked at four. The Phillies ranked at five. And then the Astros and the Rays ranked at six and seven. Yankees ranked at eight. The Diamondbacks and the Blue Jays make out the top 10.
My question to you, though, do you think the Yankees made the power rankings on the basis of they're actually a really, really good team and they're a threat, or because of their namesake?
I think they made a couple.
Well, when you talk about preseason power rankings, you know, again, I think you're making of the strength of what your team looks like on paper, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what this team looks like on paper. They've got, you know, what could be a prolific offense in Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, as well as Anthony Volpe, Jason Dominguez coming back, also all these different things. You have on paper a really good 1-4 in your starting rotation, if you want to argue at least 1-3, with Cole, Stroman, and Rodon. You want to add Cortez in there, you got Cortez. So you've got a really good team on paper in the rotation. You know, but again, it's the same thing we say about the Dodgers. On paper, they look like, how are you beating them? Right? They look like a fantasy team. They look like a fantasy team that you made on general manager mode on MLB.
Yeah.
And you set it to easy where the other team can't say no to trades. Right? Like,
yeah, Grist still hasn't recovered from this offseason.
All good. He'll be all right. He'll get his frustrations out next week. But moving on to year or not, I know Matt he magically has a question now. So that's what we. Okay, cool.
I'm gonna wrap quick hits into year or not.
I got you.
I've got my quick hits is a year or not.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right, tag team a year or not. Okay, cool.
Pause. That was wild.
I said year or not. I didn't say tag team. You know what? You
gotta relax. It's crazy.
Is Brooklyn in here tonight?
If it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from.
Uptown, baby, we gets down, baby, I'm for the crown, baby.
Now if it wasn't for the Bronx, this rap probably never would be going on. So tell me where you from.
Uptown, baby.
Since the World Tag Team Champions have decided to,
I'm disappointed.
To the Mega Powers decide to, you know, come together. The Bronx and Brooklyn are coming together.
I really don't know what's worse.
Year or nah. This is your this is quick hits. That's what this segment is called this week.
I don't know.
Is quick hits.
I'm so, Woods, he's Kofi.
I heard the Bronx in my open. I'm not happy right now at all. I'm just letting you know that right now.
You get heard to be Brooklyn. Kofi. You heard Woods.
You heard Brooklyn first. At least he heard Brooklyn first.
You got
Brooklyn first. I didn't put Peter Guns in front of Fab.
Solely, It's only a matter of time before I start hearing some Queen stuff, and I'm not on board with none of it. I'm not.
There's nobody here from Queens. Don't worry about it. So, Matt, the floor is yours.
All right. Now, Larry, my guy, Larry, he brought up.
What? You're missing something.
I'm not doing that no more. I'm
you
not
have to.
It. I'm not doing it. I already told you about that. I'm not.
What
doing
the hell?
That. I'm it's not in doing
contract.
That.
It's in the contract.
I didn't
sign the contract.
It's not yes, part of my contract.
It's in the contract.
No.
You have to do it, bro.
I was going to do another.
Do it for Tavia.
No, I'm not doing
do
it for Tavia. No.
Yeah, do it for Tay.
I'm
yeah,
not do doing Tay. It for. No, I'm not.
I'm going to call her and then she's going to tell cool. you.
I'm not doing it. Let's do it.
Come on, Matt. Thank you for being on, Matt.
Bro, you're not being the team player. Matt, you're not being the team player.
Since you brought it a second ago.
Thank you for being a friend.
No, no.
No.
You got to do the Marvin.
Matt, you got to do your intro. No. No.
I'm not doing it.
God, man. Gina
told me not to do it. I'm not doing it no more.
Okay. She's not on the Yours One Show. What the hell?
I'm not doing it no more.
It's in your listen.
It's not in my contract.
It's either you do it.
My contract said I'm supposed to have two chances. I got two chances. I'm here. That's it. I'm good. I've fulfilled my commitments of my contract.
With that being said, Peter, since Brooklyn don't want to represent.
That's what we're doing? Okay. Let me go see what my kids is, because they knocking on the door.
Yeah, go see what your kids are doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead and see what your kids are doing.
So, something pissed me off this week. Mm-hmm. As you know, the college football playoff, there's been talk of expanding the college football players to football playoffs from to 12 teams. And that's what we're going to get. It's going to be a 12-team playoff. But the 12-team playoff hasn't even happened yet. It hasn't even come into existence yet. And what do I hear? I hear that there is momentum and optimism now for a 14-team playoff.
Bro, what? Just make it 16, bro.
Now, my issue is, as you just alluded to, the reason why we went to a playoff system is because they hated the damn BCS.
Right.
You know, which was like the 30 teams and the rankings and all this other stuff. At this point, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand. Now, here's what would happen. It would be in a boosted automatic qualification spots. Right.
Right.
So what would happen is there'd be three automatic qualifiers for the Big Ten and the SEC. So the person who wins the SEC and the person who wins the Big Ten automatically get in, and the next two teams get in. Two for the Big 12 and the ACC, and then one for the group of five. And then that would leave three at-large spots. That would be three at-large spots. Mm-hmm. In left for other teams. But you get three automatic qualifiers in the SEC, three in the Big Ten, two in the ACC, two in the Big 12, one for the remaining group of five, three at-large spots, and there's talk about Notre Dame getting in if they are in the top 14 on Selection Day because they are an independent school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand this.
I don't either.
I'm tired of this. Absolutely. You went away from a model that was convoluted and insane to a model that was a lot cleaner and a lot nicer. And then you got upset that it was the same 14.
Mute, Matt,
right. Then you got mad it's the same four teams every year. So you said, oh, let's do more teams. Okay. So we're going to do an 18 playoff. Then Now we're doing a 12 team, and now before the 12 team has even started, we're going to do a 14 team. And now you're still kind of still giving love to the same, oh, let's give the SEC three spots. Why? Let them earn it.
Yeah, why are you just giving away the spots, bro? Like, why are you giving them three spots?
If the TCU, Horned Frogs of Texas, are better than the second or third place SEC team, why is it they get an automatic bid, but TCU's got to fight for something?
Because they don't want another – the problem is they don't want another bowl or championship game where a team gets smacked. But that's not our problem. That's like the NFL saying, you know what, Carolina Panthers, y'all for sure going to get smacked by the Denver Broncos. But you know what? Y'all can't make it because y'all going to get smacked. So instead of y'all winning all y'all playoff games, winning all the games y'all supposed to win, going 13-2 that season, having the MVP on your team, we gonna let another team in to play Denver. Because that's what it seems like.
But then if you go on that, the Giants, both years that they made the wild card, would have been looked at as just like, oh no, y'all not good enough to make.
Oh no, yeah. Y'all shouldn't be playing.
But they won the Super Bowl both years.
No. Green Bay, come on. Go ahead. Y'all were the better team. Go ahead.
So I guess, since I got to do this correct, you're or nah, a 14-team playoff in college football?
Hell nah. Hell nah. You added too much. You're doing too much. They constantly mess up the format anyway. like I get last year people were like, well, you know, such and such team is better than the undefeated team. Yeah, but how are you going to reward a team for going undefeated after losing their best player by telling them, nah, y'all not good enough? Nah, y'all no good. And then it's going to be more and more of that. At this point, y'all have to, if you're going to make it 14 teams, and then if you're even going to go further than that, make it a full playoff bracket in 16, these teams need to be ranked based off fucking your record. Like, that's it. Not, oh, strengths of schedule and all this other bullshit. Like, y'all put the schedule out. Y'all know who's going to have the easiest schedule or not before
and you know, but also the colleges make their schedules.
Yeah.
Anybody who's played college sports, they make their schedules.
Yeah.
You have to play X amount of games in your conference. But when it comes to those out-of-conference games, you get to cherry pick who you want to play. That's why you see those games early in the season where USC – is playing some college you never heard about in Southern California, and they blow them out 75-7. But that school got $5 million for playing in that game.
Yeah.
What the hell just happened?
All right, Cole. Come on, Cole. You know.
All right, man. Your time. You're on now.
All right. I got to a big argument last week while I was in New York with my older brother. I talked to Dre about this, but, you know, I feel like why not bring it to the congregation? The Knicks are playing really, really good. They're a really, really great team. Right? Well, good to great team. Yeah, but great. My question – stop it, Dre. Don't antagonize me right now. I'm not feeling it right now. But he said some weird shit. He said to me, the audacity of this man. I love my brother to death, but the audacity of this man to sit there and say that the Knicks are the most complete team in the NBA right now is crazy, especially with the Boston Celtics being the juggernaut that they are right now. Granted, it's up for debate what's going to happen in the playoffs because Jason Tatum is not really that reliable.
Neither is Jaylen Brown.
and that was a question he also asked too. Who do I thought was the better player on the team? In my opinion, I think it is Jaylen Brown.
I think it's Jaylen Brown, and people just be on that light skinned man,
light skin purple,
like crazy.
Light skin purple. Like,
if anybody really watched the NBA Finals, you'll see the person who really kept them in it.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there. But my question to you guys: is the Knicks the most complete team in the NBA, year or nah? Pete?
Hell to the no.
I wanted to hear her opinion of this too. Yeah.
No, they're not. Listen, they are a very good team. And the moves that they made at the trade deadline are good, right? It's been a great job getting in, bringing in Bogdanovich, bringing in Precious Achiuwa has been great. Dante DiVincenzo is like balling out.
Surprisingly.
12 threes a game. But the problem is that starting lineup.
We just shooting that motherfucker.
with Julius Randle out. And Jalen Brunson hurt every now and again. The one thing that this team has shown you is that they are not a very deep team. Your backup center outside of Isaiah Hartenstein is Jericho Sims because Mitchell Robinson is still out. Outside of Precious at power forward, who's your second best power forward on the roster right now? It's Bojan Bogdanovic.
Josh Hart.
But Josh Hart's your starting small forward.
I can't believe you said that. You got to relax. Right? Bro.
It's true. Look at his listing on the website. He's power forward, bro.
Like, that's the thing. Josh Hart is your starting small forward because why? Because Randall's out, or else Randall would be starting at the three, and you'd have Precious at the four. Right, and Josh Hart would be coming off the bench, and you could have Brunson and DiVincenzo. Who's your backup?
No, OG would be starting at the.
Oh yeah, they're right. Yeah, I forgot OG is out.
Because he should be back in another week.
So you got OG out, you got Randall out, you got Mitchell Robinson out. The big problem right now is depth. Are they a good team? Yes. Can they make some noise in the playoffs this year? I honestly think they can. Right, and I honestly think they could surprise a team or two. If they keep playing the way they've been playing. But the biggest problem with the Knicks is health and depth. Once people start getting hurt, the depth of that team takes a major hit. They are a team that depends on its starting unit being healthy so that its bench unit looks good. But once they start having that second unit moving into the starting unit, it looks very thin on that bench.
I'm gonna say, I agree with sentiments that Pete said. I'm gonna say not in terms of them being a complete team. When they are healthy, the Knicks will be one of the hardest teams to beat when they are completely healthy. Mainly because this is a Tom Thibodeau team. These 3-and-D players, good inside. Defense and you have a dog point, you have a dog head, captain of the team with Jalen Brunson. I think that when healthy, in terms of the team being complete, yes, I agree the team is complete when healthy. Looking at Boston, though, Boston has everything everywhere from 1 through 5. From 1 through 12, the Boston Celtics are the most complete team in the NBA. The Knicks are right now look like a New York Knicks team that we are used to in the city. And I'm not talking about the teams that we were used to in the stretch that were bad. I am talking about like when we were going to the playoffs every year. That's what they look like right now. They're looking at the almost doesn't count type of Knicks where you would go again, you run into Michael, you run into Reggie, you run into Zoe and Timmy, and it just wouldn't happen sometimes. But I do agree with Peter again where he says this Knicks team can surprise some people, but they have to be at full health or close to it. But in terms of them being the most complete team. Not right now, but and even when they're fully healthy, they're not the most complete team, but they are as close to a complete team as you can get for what you have on that team. Because half of those players are not playing. Like Jericho Sims is not playing if Mitchell Robinson is healthy. Isaiah Hartenstein will play limited minutes.
He'd be your backup.
Precious Achiuwa, again, limited minutes, even though he is a really surprisingly good player who played pretty decent in Toronto, which is why I'm happy they got him in the trade. But I do think that the Knicks are really good, but they're not a complete team. I just want to read this from Shaq real quick. He says, to be fair, they're not really the most complete team, but when they're healthy, they have the two best wins of the season when they beat healthy Embiid by 36 in Philly and the Joker who got a triple-double by 38 at home, followed by beating the Heat, who the Joker beat in the finals by 14 the next game. Beating the Heat in the middle of the season don't count. Just want to let y'all know, and everybody knows this already. But I give you that. Matt, you're a nah about the Knicks being a complete team.
Are they a complete team? Yeah, they're a complete team. Are they the most complete team in the league? No, they are not. Being complete means they got to be healthy. They're hardly ever healthy.
Yeah.
I didn't agree with what he was saying.
And again, you talk about the Boston Celtics. I think a team that nobody still is talking about, but I think is really complete, and I don't think people realize the talent that's on that team, is the Indiana Pacers.
Exactly.
You know, and they fell for a little bit because they had a couple of injuries, and Haliburton was out for a little while and things like that. But the addition of Pascal Siakam and the emergence of Haliburton as an absolute beast at passing the ball, as well as the shooting offense that they've instituted there in Indiana, you have a really great team there. You have a Milwaukee team that still hasn't truly gelled yet. And that's the most dangerous part about Milwaukee, is that Giannis and Dame and that team with Malik Beasley and all of them really haven't yet gotten into a groove of playing with each other. So, for me, it's also going to be something to look out for, that you haven't yet seen that. So, there's a lot. The Knicks are a really good team, and I think they could be a dangerous team this year. I really think they can. If I'm looking at the standings right now, you know, if you're looking at maybe they're going to play the Sixers in the first round right now if the season ended today. They'd play either the Sixers or the Orlando Magic. I think they could beat either one of those teams in the first
round. I think the Sixers will have Embiid back by that time frame, if I'm not mistaken. And if Embiid is playing with Maxey and Buddy Hill, I don't know, man. That's I don't know. That'll be a really tight series. But I agree with you. They are capable of taking the Sixers out. Orlando,
they can beat the Magic.
Yeah. I feel like more or less the Knicks will be more complete within a year or two because of the draft picks and the freed up cap space that they now have. I feel like they'll be more complete within a year or two. And being that they have fixed the environment allure of New York to now where people want to come to New York, which shocked the shit out of me. People actually want to come to New York.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, people do want to come to New York. It's crazy. Like Kevin Durant even mentioned it. He's like, well, they're a wave now. They're a really good team now. So people do want to come to the Knicks now.
Especially after Durant didn't want to come to the Knicks.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Not Durant saying in an interview he wanted to come to the Knicks. His whole team wanted him to go to the Knicks. But he was just like, yeah, they're kind of not really great right now. I'm like, dude, you could have made them great.
That's fucking hate Josiah. I really do.
It's not Josiah's fault.
I hate Josiah. There's nothing we can do about that. I just don't like Josiah.
But the man didn't do anything to you.
He did everything wrong. We need to admit that he's at fault for a lot of this. The Steve Nash, the Marks, the
I have no problem with Marks. And the Steve Nash thing wasn't a call of Joe Sive.
John Marks.
He signed the check off on it, but that was because of Kyrie and Kevin Durant. That's what happens when you decide to say, hey, I'm going to listen to these players over here and what they want, rather than making an executive decision as the executive of the damn team.
I just hate everybody in the Brooklyn Nets franchise right now. We had it all and just gave it away for nothing.
Yeah, we did. We did have it all in 2001 and 2002. That's when we had it all.
You gotta let King and Martin go, bro.
You gotta let Jason Kidd go.
Nah.
Kerry Kittles and all of them. You didn't hear what he just said?
No, I was, my internet went off, so.
My man Lucius Harris, bro. My man
Lucius Harris, bro. Oh man,
Pete, you do this all the time with your Greg Oster tags and Hornacek's, and
you put some respect on Greg Oster tags' name.
Dre in the show.
Nobody put respect on tags' name. That's the problem.
Put some goddamn respect on Greg Oster tags' name.
If he mentions the White Mamba one more time, I'm done.
Everybody loved Dougie McDermott.
No, nobody did. Nobody knew him. You got to stop.
Guys, anything we got to say before we wrap up?
I hate Joe Tsai.
Okay, you still hate Joe Tsai? That's a fight you're gonna have to fight by yourself.
I'll give him that. At least he's consistent. Listen, at least he's better than Mikhail Prokhorov.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
God. But shout out to everybody. Pete, next We Are Wrestling show is
April 26th, Friday, April 26th in the Bronx. We Are Wrestling presents Lo Que Paso, Paso, headline by a huge 4-on-4 match. The war to settle the score. Every Latin person knows we're going to settle the score once and for all at We Are Wrestling. Team Pegao versus Team Kong Kong. And we also are launching the first round of the We Are Wrestling Tag Team Title Tournament, of which Dre, as the wise brother, prolific, a part of that tag team tournament.
Yep. We qualified by beating CMD. Really, really. Shouts to CMD, really, really good opponents. But, yeah, we're looking to take it all the way. We're looking to take it all the way. Prolific needs more gold on us. And that's exactly what we're going to get.
Take it all the way as well. Just throw that out there.
Oh, God. Anyway.
It's crazy.
Anyways. Crazy. Shout out to that. We're looking forward to more news as that progresses. Again, shout out to the state of Arizona, Phoenix especially, because you know.
And I want to give a big shout out. I know this isn't gonna come out till Monday, but I want to give a big shout out to Bobby Buffet, the BST champion for BST up in Connecticut, a graduate of the Monster Factory last night in the main event of BST's Leap to Leap Year. Unfortunately, Bobby suffered an injury. We're hoping that we get good news from that. We're hoping everything is okay. But showing a lot of love to Bobby Buffet, that it is a minor injury, and if it isn't, that he comes back bigger, faster, and stronger. But stay eating, young champ. You know, we will be sending you all the love in the world.
Absolutely. And one more shout out that's definitely dope. Brian F. Pro, my guy.
Yes, shout out. The gift.
The gift, Brian F. Pro. I said this to him personally. I'm going to say it live on air. This man, he has put so many faces out in the world, and he's shown us a lot of people that, you know, that don't necessarily always get shown love for their contributions in wrestling. He did a Black History Month thing for all the Black wrestlers. You know, I was on it. The rest of my team was on it.
I believe he's doing the Indigenous collage now, Native American and Indigenous Peoples collage. done. He's done an Asian Pacific Islander collage. He's done Latinx workers collage, Women's History Month collage. He's done it all. I just wish people would respect his deadlines more. Right. That young man is always out here putting deadlines out, and everybody's waiting till the last minute. Get your stuff to Brian F. Pro.
Right, and it's not like he doesn't say it. He's like, yo, this is my deadline.
This is the deadline.
So, again, shouts to him. He's always showing love to everybody. He said he has a few goals coming up this year, and I really, really think he's going to accomplish them. I know one of them, he said he wants to accompany somebody to the ring. He wants to try to ring announce as well.
He knows he can give me a shout out, send me a message. Me and him are constantly talking. Obviously, he does the graphics for We Are Wrestling. Hey, we can make something like that happen. I'm not opposed to that at all.
And really one super final thing, because I do have to leave. Jobber Slam. We were announcing it pretty early, but it will be the week. It will be Kobe Day. 8/24/24. So, you know, be prepared for more announcements coming with that. Everything related to us in the world. Baseball show coming up soon. A lot of stuff with everything we're doing outside of the Earth Sports Show, Shop Business Productions, everything. It's going to keep getting bigger. Congratulations to BK Matt as well. He's on the way to his new journey in life. You know, he's getting that sex change operation that he's been talking about.
Long time coming.
Nah. No, he's about to make more money. And it's not on OnlyFans. This man is really about to make some money. This man about to make some money.
I feel like Matt could have had a profitable OnlyFans. I mean, I feel like there's a niche. I feel like there's a niche market for short black men.
Wow. That's what we're doing. Okay. All right.
Matt will come out swinging fist next episode.
It's crazy.
Nah, but shout out to everybody. Shout out to Queen Tay. She came back for one of her world tours. You see her. She's out here lifting the whole gym up. And, you know, shout out to everybody and the Jobber Slam Networks as well, having us on. But, Matt, I know you got to go. Look out
for Matt. I got Beyonce to attend to now.
Yeah. And Matt is about to be on
Backstage
Brawl, and you know, representing the Euro Sports Show and Shop, and you go do your thing.
I'll go tune in while I walk my dogs.
I will too. Be going swimming in this rain, unfortunately, but for the voice of a generation, Pete Rosato, for BK Matt, for the Queen K, it is your wise brother, Big Baby, signing off. Peace.